Good morning, good morning. Y'all know it's raining outside, don't you? And you still made it to church? Give yourselves a hand, come on. You know, a little drizzle's like a major storm in California. Most people just shut things down, but you all get out and go to church. God bless you and thank you for coming today. I want you to thank Nico and Adriana and that worship team today. They did a great job today. That tree is one of the most beautiful trees. Sometimes I just drive by the church at night just to see it, go out of my way, just to go look at that tree. It's absolutely gorgeous. We want to thank again all those who helped put all that together. And I hope you're ready for the Christmas season. Our West Valley campus yesterday in the rain as an outreach project for the community, they gave away free 300 Christmas trees to the like first come, first serve people. And they did that all day yesterday in the rain, so I appreciate that. Tomorrow night, which is Monday, we have an event here planned at the church that we've never done before. We are hosting in the San Fernando Valley, there are 1,200 children in the foster care system. And we've sent out an invitation to every one of those 1,200 children. We have signed up right now to be here tomorrow night. Close to 1,000 of those 1,200 children are going to be here. Think about that. On top of that, we have another 150 children who live in shelter homes, homeless shelters, and they're going to be here with their families, extended families. And we're just going to have a party. We're going to feed them. We have games and crafts and rides. And we just want them to know that they're loved during this Christmas season. It is a community-wide event. We have like 40 different businesses, like Gus's Barbecue, Kaiser Hospital, UCLA Health, the mayor's office, United Airlines, several coffee houses. We have all these community groups that are going to join together, LAPD, Los Angeles Fire Department, and nothing like this has ever been done to this scale in this city for foster care children. And we have over 400 volunteers already signed up, amen? But what we need for those children is we need toys and gift cards, if you're able to help. And in your bulletin, there's a couple of different ways we're basically doing a toy drive between now and tomorrow. So that's difficult for some of you, but there's a place out front where you can drop those off if you've got time this afternoon or sometime in the morning or during lunch tomorrow to accomplish that. But we could use your help in making sure all of these 1,200 children have some gift to take home with them. Amen? So again, this is a part of our year theme, which is I Love LA. And this is just our church doing our part of that. The next few weeks, I just want you to know that we're going to have some guest speakers here. Some of you know that I've been having a little bit of heart stuff, heart issues, and I'll explain that to you because I want you to know. But your heart has two major parts. You have what's called the plumbing, which that's one side, and the other side is the electrical side. And all of my plumbing is good. I got good plumbing. I might fall over dead here in about 2 hours, but I got good plumbing. But I have issues with the electrical side, and I struggle with a thing called AFib, where the heart just for no reason starts beating rapidly. And I've been battling this for about 5 years. The last year's been a little difficult. So I've decided to go have a heart surgery this week. I'm gonna do it this week. And what they do is they go in here and up here into this upper chamber and they poke a hole into this chamber. That's how they get in there. That's where those electrical impulses come from. And then they create scar tissue. They cauterize and create scar tissue. And it's called an ablation. And the theory is that electrical impulses can't go through scar tissue. So they create that scar tissue. They basically singe the inside of that chamber. And I want you to know that I've just decided I'm going to do that because I'm tired of wrestling with this thing. I'm not too worried about it, maybe a little bit. But I certainly want you to be in prayer for me this week. But because of that, the next couple of weeks, we're going to have some guest speakers. And we have Pastor Jeff Walling will be preaching. We have Dr. Sam is going to be preaching. Dr. Sam is one of my cardiologists. He's a plumber. He has nothing. He knows nothing about electricity. But he's a plumber. So if you like needed a valve replaced, that's what he does. But I'm going to see a cardiologist that deals with the electrical side of the heart. But Dr. Sam will be preaching next weekend. I want you to know, we have Kyle Eidelman who's going to be preaching here. And Kyle used to be on our staff many years ago. Helped us do a church plant up in Santa Clarita. Kyle is currently the senior pastor of the largest Christian church in America. They run about 22, 23, 24,000 people in Louisville, Kentucky. And Kyle was the one who wrote the book called Not a Fan and many other books. And I just don't want you to miss being here next weekend as Kyle comes to preach for us. You will be blessed by that. But continue to just pray for me this week and all is good. Amen, amen, amen. I want you to take your Bibles. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 5. Turn to Luke chapter 5. I said all that to say this is like my last sermon I'll be preaching this year, Lord willing. And I wanted to just, I really thought about what should I preach today, And so before we head off into the Christmas season, having just finished the series on 2 Corinthians, I want you to grab your sermon outline. I want to speak to you on this subject. It's called Two Tax Collectors and One Simple Carpenter. Now, how many of you know who the simple carpenter is? You know who that is. And how many of you pay your taxes? You pay taxes, all right? How many of you do not pay taxes? Do not raise your hand. I want to talk to you not about one, but about two different tax collectors, both found in the Gospel of Luke. And the first one is found in Luke chapter 5. Our story begins in and around the city of Capernaum, which is on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee, a lake called also called Lake Tiberias. There was an IRS man who lived up there. He was tax collector number, everybody say tax collector number one. There was an old IRS man who lived up there by the name of Matthew, also called Levi. This tax collector has two names. As you read through scripture, sometimes he's referred to as Matthew, sometimes he's referred to as Levi. Why the difference? Well, Matthew is his Greek name, and Levi is his Hebrew name. And it depended upon what circles you were traveling. Matthew is a Greek name because he worked for the Romans, and the Romans spoke Greek. The Bible was written in Greek. And so you have his Greek name because he worked for Greek-speaking Romans, but he was Hebrew, and he collected taxes from Hebrew-speaking Jews. And so when he was in those Jewish circles, they called him Levi. But make no mistake about it, our first tax collector has two names, one Matthew and one Levi. Now, in that region of northern Galilee, everybody knew Levi. I want you to write this down. He was known by all, loved by few, and hated by most people. For he was of the most hated profession known to Israel. The profession of being a tax collector, I'll explain. He worked for the Roman government who was oppressing the Jews. He acquired his job by bidding for it. He would bid, and the highest bidder would get that job. A man would make a bid for a certain district, and anything he collected above and beyond his bid was his. So the tax collector in Jesus's day set whatever rate he wanted to set for the taxes. It needed no act of Congress. It needed no parliamentary decision. The tax rate was set by the tax collector himself. He'd give the Romans their fair share, and he would keep the rest for himself. He was basically a professional thief, is what he was. And so you can see why he was known by all, loved by few, and hated by most. But what we're going to see, Roman number two in your notes, that Matthew, tax collector number one, has an encounter with Jesus. Luke chapter 5, the Bible says that Jesus went out and he saw a tax collector by the name of Levi. And where did he see Levi? Levi was sitting where? He was sitting in his tax collector's booth. Now, I want you to pause here for just a few moments. I believe that the two of them had seen each other before. The reason I believe this is up to this point, Jesus had been just a simple carpenter, just like his earthly father Joseph was a simple carpenter. But carpenters would have had to have paid their fair share of taxes. Jesus, for the first 30 years of his life, was a carpenter. He was a blue-collar worker. He worked with wood and with stone. Jesus grew up in the neighborhood just down the road a little ways. He was a quiet child. He never misbehaved. He was always polite. He was always proper. He brought honor to his father and to his mother. No one disliked Jesus. He was faithful to attend the synagogue every single week. The Bible says that Jesus, as he grew from childhood, that he increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with both God and with man. Make no mistake about it, we know for a fact that in those first 30 years, he was a simple yet hardworking carpenter, working out of his father's carpenter shop, paying his taxes and living in that particular area, until one day everything changes for Jesus and everything changes for Matthew because they have an encounter. Jesus walks over and he sees Matthew, a tax collector, Levi, sitting at the tax collector's booth collecting taxes, and they begin to have what's called a conversation. Now, what I'm about to share with you is speculation. I don't do this very often when I'm preaching, but I'm going to do it today. We don't know for sure how that conversation went. We just know they had some type of conversation. And something like what I'm about to share had to have happened because somehow Matthew had to find out what I'm about to share. On this particular day, Jesus walks up and says, "Hello, Matthew." And Matthew says, "Hello, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Matthew, I'd like to have a talk with you." Matthew says, "Well, sure, Jesus, are you behind in your taxes?" "No, I don't want to talk to you about my taxes." "Matthew, what I'd like to talk to you about is the most important thing in the entire world." Matthew said, "Well, that sounds a little dramatic to me, but what's on your mind?" "Matthew," "Yes," Matthew said, "do you remember all the times where we sat together in the synagogue reading the scriptures?" Matthew said, "Yes, Jesus, we've done that many times." Jesus said, "Do you remember when the rabbi would read from the book of Genesis that one day that the seed of woman would bruise the head of the serpent? Do you remember that?" Matthew said, "Of course I remember that." Jesus said, "Matthew, do you remember how in the book of Exodus, when the Passover lamb was slain, do you remember how that story was pointing to another lamb that would someday come and pay for the sins of the entire world? Do you remember that?" Matthew said, "Well, of course, Jesus, I'm well aware of that, as are you." Jesus said, "Matthew, do you remember in the Old Testament writings, those sacred scriptures, how over and over again, all of those books in the Old Testament, that they pointed that one day that the Messiah would appear? How in the book of Joshua, the Messiah was pictured as a prophet and a priest. and how the book of Judges, the Messiah was pictured as the judge over all the world, and how in the book of Ruth, that the Messiah was pictured as a kinsman and a redeemer, and how the book of Samuel, the Messiah was pictured as the anointer of kings, and how in the book of Kings, the Messiah was pictured as the king of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Do you remember that, Matthew? And Matthew said, Jesus, of course I remember all that. Jesus said, do you remember in the book of Psalms that the Messiah was the song of all the ages? In the book of Proverbs, the Messiah was pictured as the truth and nothing but the truth. And the book of Ecclesiastes, he's known or pictured as the great preacher. And the book Song of Solomon, he was pictured as the wonderful lover. And do you remember how in the book of Isaiah, the Messiah was pictured as the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace? Do you remember that, Matthew? And Matthew said, well, Jesus, of course I remember those things. And Matthew said to Jesus, Jesus, I got a question for you. Why do you keep asking me if I remember all these things? And Jesus said, Matthew, you better sit down for a minute. I got something to tell you. And Matthew said, what is it? And Jesus said, Matthew, I know you think I'm just a simple carpenter, but I'm here today to tell you that I am the Messiah. And Matthew said, you're the what? Jesus said, I want you to know, Matthew, that I am the Jesus. Wait a minute. I've always known you weren't like the other kids. You were quiet, maybe more studious in the synagogue than everybody else. And you were very good at carpentry, I might add. And you never missed your taxes, not one time. Kudos to you, Jesus. But you're the what? It's not possible. It can't be. Did you hit your head in the carpenter shop? Jesus said, Matthew, listen to me. I'm here today to tell you that I am the Messiah, that in just 2 or 3 years I will go to the cross. I will fulfill Psalm chapter 22. I will fulfill Zechariah chapter 11. I will fulfill Isaiah chapter 52. I will fulfill Isaiah chapter 53. And Matthew, when I die on that cross, I will dip my soul into the torments of hell. And I will be dying for you. I will be dying for your family. I will be dying for the entire world as your substitute, as your sacrifice. And Matthew, I just want you to know that if you'll trust in me, if you will follow me, you'll go to heaven one day. Somewhere, somehow, you make up the conversation. Some conversation like that had to have happened. But Matthew and Jesus have an encounter, and we have what's called the calling and the response to that call. Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 5 that Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth, and Jesus said these words to Matthew. Matthew! Matthew! Follow me. Follow me! He said that to a professional thief. He said that to a sinner. He said that to a tax collector. He said the words, follow me. And at that moment, ladies and gentlemen, something began to happen to the heart of Matthew. I think his heart went into AFib right there. A moist tear came to the corner of his eye. Conviction began to set into his soul. And Matthew looked up at Jesus and he saw a face that he'd seen before but never really seen before. He looked up and heard a voice that he had heard before but never really heard before. And finally, Matthew said, Jesus! If 15 minutes ago you had told me that you were the Messiah, I would not have believed it. And I don't understand the why or the what, but somehow in my heart I want you to know, Jesus, I believe, I believe, I believe. And Jesus said to Matthew, Matthew, there's just one more thing I want to tell you. Matthew said, what's that? Jesus said, I want you to leave all and follow me. You want me to do what? Jesus said, I want you to leave all of this and follow me. Well, Jesus, that's what I thought you said. Jesus, you have to understand, I'm probably the richest man in all of Capernaum. You want me to do what? Jesus said, I want you to leave all and follow me. But Jesus, no one would believe me. I've got a bad reputation. Nobody likes me. I'm a crook. No one would trust me. Jesus said, I want you to leave all and follow me, Matthew. And the Bible says in verse 28, you can write this down, that Matthew left everything and followed Jesus. That means that he left his job, he left his income, he left his family, he left his home, he left his security, he left his livelihood, he left his peers, he left his old ways, he left his past, he left his old conniving ways. The Bible says that he left everything and followed after Jesus. But the next thing that happened is even more amazing. I want you to write this down. He had it's called Matthew's resignation and announcement. His resignation and his announcement, this old tax collector number one, he had what we know as an early retirement party. And it says in verse 15, 29, chapter 5, verse 20, look at these words. Then, everybody say then, Levi held a great banquet. This was not a little shindig. He held this great banquet for who? Who was the banquet for? Jesus. It was for Jesus at his house. And the Bible says there was a large, large crowd of tax collectors and others that were eating with them. Picture this scene, if you will. Matthew holds this large banquet at his house. The guest list is a group of wicked, evil people. This is a gathering of extortionists, is what it is. This is the equivalent of a guy announcing that he's leaving the mafia. These are tax collectors, professional thieves, sinners, a motley crew, a crowd of people who lived only for themselves that had no conscience of ripping people off. I picture this large banquet hall, a large table, and all around this table it's full of sinners and tax collectors. And Matthew stands at the head of the table, takes his fork and knocks it up against a glass, and he gets everyone's attention, and he says, gentlemen, I have an announcement to make. I hereby officially resign from my post as tax collector for district headquartered in Capernaum. A buzz swept across that room with shouts of disbelief. Why, Matthew, you have the best district in all of Galilee. You have the coveted place. You of all people, you have it made. Why in the world would you resign? Gentlemen, 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 you're going to have a hard time believing this, but there's a kid who grew up, he was a carpenter, grew up in our neighborhood just down the road. His name is Jesus. I saw many times. He never once ever missed paying his taxes. I found it not unusual several weeks ago when he stopped by the tax collector's booth. He wanted to have a conversation with me. And gentlemen, he told me something at first. I couldn't even believe it myself. But eventually, I did believe it because he told me, this Jesus told me that he was the Messiah. And I've called you all here tonight for two reasons. One, to announce to you that I am resigning my post. I'm leaving all to follow Jesus, this Christ from Galilee. But he said, the second reason for this meal and the reason why I've invited you here tonight, I want to introduce to you yourself. I want you to meet this Jesus. I introduce to you Jesus, the Christ of Galilee. And out from the side room walks Jesus, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, the rose of Sharon, the bright and morning star, the way, the truth, and the life, the good shepherd. I introduce to you the Christ, the Son of the living God. And out came Jesus with outstretched arms. Oh, no one is ever the same after meeting Jesus. Some people trust in him, some people do not. But no one is ever the same after meeting him. That's tax collector number one in his encounter with Jesus. What chapter is that in? Luke chapter what? I want you to now turn over to Luke chapter 19. We're going to look at another one of these tax collectors. Luke chapter 19. Same gospel, same writer. A few chapters later, I introduce to you our second tax collector, a man by the name of Zacchaeus, a.k.a., write this down, Shorty. He also had two names. Luke chapter 19, and again, we're in another chapter. This is another tax collector. Everybody say tax collector number two. Jesus, in verse 1, entered Jericho, and he was just passing what? He's just passing what? He's just passing through. He's on his way to Jerusalem. There was a man there by the name of Zacchaeus. And the Bible says that he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. In other words, he had big bucks. I want you to write that down. Bullet point number one, he was a chief tax collector. What's that mean? Well, Matthew was a tax collector. Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. In other words, he was the boss of many tax collectors. And there's actually a chance that Zacchaeus was Matthew's boss. There's a chance that Matthew worked for Zacchaeus. There's a chance that Zacchaeus was sitting in the back of that room back in Luke chapter 5 when Matthew made his announcement that he was leaving all and following Jesus. Verse 3 tells us that he, Zacchaeus, wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, aka Shorty, he could not because of the size of the crowd. So we learn in Luke 19, the first three verses, that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. We learned that he was short, and we learned that he wanted to see who Jesus was. There was something in his heart where he wanted to know who Jesus was. Matthew, on the other hand, Jesus walked right up to him, but Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Now, there's a couple of reasons why we believe that Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Possibility number one, he no doubt, write this down, had heard about Matthew. I just want you to consider that possibility. You remember back in Luke chapter 5, Matthew had the coveted job in Capernaum. He holds this banquet full of tax collectors, announced his resignation, leaving everything to follow Jesus. Do you think or not think that Zacchaeus may have heard about that banquet? I mean, think about it. Matthew and Zacchaeus, they traveled in the same circles. They were both tax collectors. They both lived in Israel. They both were Jews. They both were working for the Roman government. They both cheated people out of their own money. There is no way Zacchaeus hadn't heard about Matthew's resignation. It's not possible because word of mouth travels. I'm not a rapper. How many of you know that? But when Kanye West became a Christian and got saved, don't you think that Drake heard about that? I'm just asking you a question. Yes or no, when it came out that Kanye West got saved and did a Christian album called Jesus is King or God is King, how many of you just know that, even without a conversation, how many of you know that Drake had to have heard about that? How many of you know that Jay-Z had to hear about that? Had to have. Don't you think if Kobe Bryant got saved, I mean really saved, that LeBron James would hear about it? He would. Don't you think if Bill Gates got saved, that somehow Mark Zuckerberg or Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, don't you think that they would find out about that? I believe it's true. Anytime God turns your life around and you become a Christian, your faith in God becomes the seeds of faith in the lives of those who hear about your transformation. I believe it. Now, whether it was Matthew's influence or not that caused Zacchaeus to want to see Jesus, we don't know for sure, but we do know this, no doubt, write this down. He had heard about Jesus. There's no doubt about that. This is not a big place. I mean, this it's not that big of a place. We know that previously in chapter 18, right before we come to chapter 19, that Jesus had healed a blind man in Luke 18, verse 35, and the Bible makes it very clear there was a large crowd of people there, and immediately after this blind man was healed, in verse 43, all the people were praising God that the blind man was healed. So the word of mouth had gotten out that this miracle worker, Jesus, was in the area. So the next thing we're going to see, Roman numeral number 3 in your notes, is Zacchaeus is going to have an encounter with this Jesus. Zacchaeus picks up a newspaper, the Jericho newspaper, and the headlines state that Jesus of Nazareth is coming through town on his way to Jerusalem. This strange yet simple carpenter who has healed the sick and raised the dead and caused blind eyes to see and the lame to leap and the sick to be made whole, the one who stills the waves and calms the storms and blesses the little children is coming through Jericho. One way or another, Zacchaeus says, I've got to go see this man called Jesus. So he runs ahead, but the crowd's so large, he's so short, he can't see over them. So he tries to say, excuse me, can I get through there? And someone looks back and says, hey, you old IRS man, get back. As far as I'm concerned, you robbed me and you robbed my family, you're not getting through. But Zacchaeus said, I've got to see Jesus, I must see Jesus, I want to see Jesus, I will see Jesus. Notice what happens next in verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead. He climbed up in a sycamore fig tree. Since Jesus was coming that way. We used to sing that song, little kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and he said, Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house to stay. You remember that song? Some of you are looking at me like you've never heard that song in your life. Kanye needs to sing that song. As far as I'm concerned. Look at verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, 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 come down. Immediately, I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. I want you to write these three things down as quickly as you can. Jesus knew the exact spot in that tree where Zacchaeus. He knew his name. He knew his name. He knew his name. He called out Zacchaeus. And number 3, Jesus wanted to go home with Zacchaeus. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, don't you see that the same thing is true here today? That God knows exactly where you're seated here today. You walked in out of the rain and just looked for a seat and sat. God knows exactly where you sat today. Secondly, he knows your name. Say, he doesn't know me. Oh, he knows your name. Yes. Today he's calling out your name. Why? Because he wants to go home with you today. He wants to go home with you today. How many of you, be honest, in your past, somewhere you're here today and you've had an encounter with Jesus. Raise your hand and leave it up. If you're saved, raise your hand and leave it up there. Now, if you're not saved, I want you to take a look at all the tax collectors that are here today. Look at all the thieves that are here today. The liars. The sinners that are here today. Because that's what we are. When it says tax collectors, it's talking about the worst of the worst, and that's who we are. And if you're here today and you're unsaved, if you're here today because you just came in, you're like Zacchaeus, you just want to check things out. You didn't climb up a tree, but you climbed up in a balcony just to check things out. Jesus is passing through here today. He's here today. And he's here, and he stops, and he says, hey, Michael, Susie, Stephen, Bill, William, Peter, Georgia, whatever your name is, come on down here. I want to go home with you. And guess what? You got to get up and come down off that tree and come meet your Lord and your Savior. You say, did Zacchaeus really get saved? Oh, yes, he did. Look at the rest of this. Let's look again at verse 5 and 6. Jesus reached the spot. Everybody say the spot. He looked up. He said to him, Zacchaeus, on the count of three, you say your name on the count of three. Just say your name on the count of three. One, two, three. Say your name. Okay, Jesus is saying, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Look at verse 7. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, which is everybody, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was what? Lost. Jesus, listen to me. He walks down that Jericho road. He's just passing where? Where's he passing? He's just passing through. Where's he going? He's going to Calvary. He's soon going to go to Jerusalem, and he first has to go by the house of Mary and Martha. Those are his precious friends. And then he will go to the upper room, and he will have the Last Supper. And then from there, he will go to Gethsemane, and he will pray, and he will be arrested, and he will be dragged in front of Pilate. He will then be taken to Herod, then back to Pilate. And then in just a few days, he will feel the slashing of the cat of nine tails across his back. And eventually they will nail him to a cross. And as they nail him to that cross, they'll lift that cross up, and he will be there suspended between heaven and earth. He's got a lot going on right now. But he always has time, write this down, he always has time for a seeking sinner. He always has time for a seeking sinner like you. Because that's why he came. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. As we wrap up this year and head into these last few weeks, I have three quick questions. Question number one, have you had an encounter with Jesus? That's question number one. Question number two is, have you decided to follow him? A lot of people meet him and say, I'm not going to follow him. Are you a follower of Jesus? And my third question is this, if you're saved, have you held your banquet yet? Have you held your banquet? What does that mean? That means that you invite all the people in your sphere of influence. Like if you're a realtor, have you had your banquet yet where you invite all your realtor friends? and stand up at the head of the table and knock your fork on the side of the glass and say, ladies and gentlemen, I have an announcement today. I just want you to know I've decided to follow Jesus with all my heart. If you're here today and you're a school teacher, have you had your banquet yet with all your fellow school teachers? If you're a businessman, have you had your banquet yet with all your fellow business people? If you're a nurse, have you had your banquet yet with all of your nurses? If you're in the financial service industry, have you had your business meeting with your financial people to tell them all that you've left all? And if you decided to follow Jesus, have you had your banquet yet? That's my question. Because there's people all over this city who will never walk into this building to hear me preach. Now, if you could tie them up and drag them in here, they would hear a sermon about Jesus. But most of them aren't coming to this church, but they will come to your banquet. Some of you have this whole thing turned around. You think, man, if I could just get someone there, if I could get them there, they would listen to Dudley. No, they're not going to listen to me. I'll tell you who they will listen to. They'll listen to you. Amen. You need to have your banquet. Let's stand and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Come on, let's stand. Father, today, all over this room are people who are here just kind of searching. They want to know who this Jesus is. And I pray today that every person knows it's not just us searching for Jesus, that Jesus is here searching for us. And he goes down every row. He goes in front of every person in every seat, and he says, he calls you by your name. And he says, come down. I want to go home with you today. In other words, he wants to have a relationship with you here today. He wants you to believe and understand that he is the Messiah, the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. Father, I pray as we sing, we're going to sing this chorus just a couple of times through and just give people here a chance to come. Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed up in a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Is there anyone here today who would just come down this aisle and take just a few steps just to meet the Christ of Galilee? I pray your blessing as we sing in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.